some golden daybreak. He made it home before we did. Thank you for coming. Thank the Lord for the anointing. Appreciate you being here in the church council. That was wonderful that you did that, to come to share with us and to be in the worship service together. Darren, if you'll come, please, and preach for us. Your son Darren, I'm sure they miss him at Spruce Pine today, but he's got a good associate, man of God. And sometimes the pastor leaves, hint, hint. Sometimes the pastor leaves, they'll either know they miss him or they don't. And if they don't miss him, somebody else might want him. So we appreciate you, Darren. Love you, buddy.
Amen. It is good to be back with you all tonight at Fletcher. We're honored to be back in the house of God this evening, and I trust that you've had a good afternoon. We enjoyed a good meal this morning. We appreciate dear fine folks helping us with that today, and that was such a blessing. And we went then over to see Gina's parents this afternoon. Her dad has been sick for so long, he said he'd be watching me. So if you're watching, Brother Johnny, I'm looking back at you. And we appreciate him tuning in, and we've been praying much for him. He had 3 heart attacks, 6 bypasses, and a stroke. And it's kind of been a busy summer for him and the healing process. We went over there and sat down with him. And I got to do something this afternoon on a Sunday afternoon that I couldn't tell you that I've done since I was in the hospital, and that is take a nap. And it was tremendous. Amen. Let me also add that I thoroughly enjoyed the good singing tonight. The Justice family, we love you all dearly. I just don't feel like we could just hook you up wrong. It's just amazing. You can just send you out into the woods and you'll come back with a bear slung over your shoulder and a wolf too. Amen. We love y'all. Appreciate y'all so much. Appreciate your convictions. Appreciate what y'all stand for. I appreciate this precious young couple just got married and decided to forgo the honeymoon just to try to be with us in church tonight. And that's true. God bless y'all. And boy, I love the Fletcher First Baptist Church. Mom and Dad, always good to be with y'all, of course, but love this church. I love you all dearly. And look across this congregation and see a lot of folks, a lot of visitors. It's good to see each one of you. Thank you for being here tonight. And we want to look this evening in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 23, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 23. They told me from back at home today, where I pastor at Bethel, they said they had a time this morning. And we do have a great associate pastor, Brother Clay Dale, and he's a preacher. Amen. He's a Camp Zion guy. Loves to go to Taylorsville, camp meetings all over the place, and he is a preacher. And they had a time this morning, and I was tickled to death to hear it. What a blessing that that is. And I hope they have another time tonight, and I hope we have a time. I already have had a time. I've enjoyed being in the house of God, amen? Would you stand to your feet to honor the word of God tonight? Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. That's the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 23 through 32, if correctly read. Father, there is a burden that's placed upon my heart. And Lord, it was not placed there by me, nor was it placed there of necessity of the church. But Lord, it's placed there by you. And Lord, would you help me tonight to deliver your word faithfully to this thy people? Lord, I'm not here to tell them some dream, some concoction, some idea. Lord, I'm not here tonight to tell them my opinion. But Lord, we are here tonight to preach your word. Your word is a fire. Your word is a hammer. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and allow us, Father, to loose this stammering tongue and declare the counsel of God entirely. That this people may hear, that they may know, that they may be helped. And Father, we'll not do it in our power. We'll not do it in our strength. We'll not do it in our ability, for we have none. Why you called us is still a mystery to me. But Lord, I know you chose the foolishness of preaching. And Lord, I'm certain tonight that I'm fool number one. God, would you help us then to share your word, speak to your people, help them tonight, God, to receive what the Spirit has to say to the church. And if there be souls that hang in the balance, God, I pray this would be the day that the newborn cry of a soul would be heard miles around. Lord, we give you praise for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen. We do thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. Now, today's religion is in agreement with the society of this world. And the society of this world wants us to forget God. They want to take God out of our courthouses. They want to take God out of our schools. They want to take God out of the history books. They have a goal now to rewrite the history books that the children are being taught in school. And it's constantly amazing me how they're wanting to go back and just take God out of everything. But God said that he wants some men that would stand up and speak his word faithfully. And Jeremiah in this text warns some of these so-called prophets who are not standing to preach the word of God, but are now standing to share their dreams and their ideas and their fallacies. And the devil's tactic, I believe, is to try to cause so-called preachers or prophets to tell their dreams and to sell their little ideas and to agree with this world and with society and just go along with what's happening rather than stand up for truth. And his tactic, let me say, his business is to try to cause the people of God to forget God. In fact, he said it very well in verse 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name. Now you may say, Preacher Darren, we would never forget. But Israel forgot. And I can tell you, the Bible says, would a woman forget her sucking child? It's possible that she could. I can certainly think about Susan Smith down in South Carolina, who had two precious children but fell in love with some man who said he didn't want kids and rolled her children off into the Rockefeller Lake, then drowned them there and said someone had kidnapped her children and stolen her car. All eyes, she forgot her children so that she might pursue her own dreams. God's people, there is a danger of forgetting his name. In fact, if he could, the devil would cause us to forget the presence of Almighty God. It is just possible that tonight, you get in the valley and the aggravations of life overwhelm you and the devil comes and says, where is your God now? But I want to remind you something tonight. For every valley, there are two mountaintops. And if you're in the valley, that means you've just come across one mountain. And there's one that lies up just ahead. And God's going to use it to bless you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What thou cast down, O my soul, for I shall yet praise him. God walks with us on the mountaintops, and God walks with us in the valley. And the devil would have you to forget the presence of God. The devil would have you to forget the power of God. The devil will say to you, God's not going to do anything for you. He'll do it for so-and-so, and he'll do it for so-and-so, but he's never going to do it for you. But I'm here to remind you that God has all power in heaven and all power in earth. There is not a problem he cannot solve. There is not a need he cannot meet. There is nothing too hard for our God. Romans 8:28 says, for all things work together for good to them that love God. He said in the Psalms, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Then thou shalt glorify me. If the devil could, he'd have you to forget the presence of God. If the devil could, he'd have you to forget the power of God. But it was the power of God that saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ. If the devil could, he'd have you to forget the promises of God. Am I the only one here that the devil will say, don't read that old book that you have in your hand? It's outdated now. If God has no power, if God has no presence, then why don't you just forget those promises of the Word of God? But I want to say to you, I love this precious old book. It's been better than honeycomb to me. In the middle of the night when my soul is down, in the days when I'm dark and lonely, I can take the Word of God and read from its pages, and it ministers sweet honey to my soul. And I thank God for His precious Word. I'll never forget sitting in a revival meeting, and the preacher called us up to preach, and I preached and finished, and I gave the time over, the invitation over to the man of God, and getting ready to dismiss the service, and I went and sat down on the front row, and a little boy was sitting there, tow-headed fella, didn't even have no shoes on, lived next door to the church. He said, mister, can I hold your Bible? I said, yes, son, you can. He said, you just preached from it, didn't you? I said, yes, son, I did. He opened up my Bible, and he began to rub its pages like this. He began to turn and leaf the little pages through it, rubbed his fingers across its pages. God spoke to my heart and said, look at that little boy. Look how he loves my Word. What's wrong with you? Why don't you love the Word of God like you ought to? Why don't you glean from its pages like he desires to? About that time, that boy said, here, preacher, reach me back my Bible. And he lit in on his face and knelt down at the altar. I came in right behind him. I said, son, he said, preacher, I'm going to hell. And I need to be saved. And you preach from that blessed old book. And tonight I know I need to be saved. And God saved him right there that night. We went and got him a Bible, gave it to him. His daddy yelled at him because he got home late. His daddy yelled at him because he came home with a Bible. But I'll tell you one thing the devil can't do. The devil can't take that boy's salvation from him. And he'll never forget the presence of God and the promises of God and the power of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Isaiah said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the Word of our God will stand forever. Oh, if the devil could, he'd have us forget some things. The devil say, look around, look at the newspaper. Look at the news on TV. Look at the problem. Look at the terrorists. Look at the crime rate. Look at the poverty. Look at the wars that's going on. Where's your God now? I'll tell you where he's at. He's on a lofty throne. He's always been on the throne. And he'll forever be on the throne. And the problem is the devil is in the business of trying to make you and I forget about God. Now, there's a place where no one forgets. And it's not on earth, because we forget, don't we? And I believe one day when we get to heaven, there's some things we're going to forget.
We'll have to. It wouldn't be heaven to us. God's going to do something. The change is going to come. Going to wipe away all tears and all things from our minds that would hurt us or harm us. And we're going to forget some things. But there's a place men will never forget. I want to read tonight out of the book of Luke. We will be jumping around. I hope that doesn't offend you to use your Bible. In the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Whether you're rich or poor, it's appointed unto you once to die. Both these men died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, the rich man did, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, remember, remember. And I believe there's a place in hell burning with fire and brimstone where people are tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. And I believe that those folks in that place will never forget. It's a place of memory. Every good thing, every kind word that was spoken to them on earth, every blessing, the smell of every flower, every gospel message, every hymn of invitation, every opportunity that they had to be saved, they'll remember. They'll reflect on it in hell for every thought and every deed that was good of this life. They will reflect and think about it for all of eternity. I would remind you tonight of who is in hell. The unbelieving, the whoremonger, the idolater, the blasphemer, the liar, the murderer, the vile, the wretched, the atheist, the do-gooder. They're in hell for rejecting God's Son. Thieves, robbers, unholy, unjust, the beast, the false prophet, the fallen angels. And oh yes, Satan himself will one day wind up in the lake of fire. I feel like tonight that the devil wants to cause God's people to forget about God. But I want to say, oh devil, there are some things in the lake of fire you're never going to forget. You've tried to make us forget. Well, there are some things you will never forget. And I want to discuss those tonight. The title of the sermon will be this: The Devil Won't Forget. I believe number one then tonight, the devil will not forget the day he rebelled against God. In the book of Job, chapter number 38, Job and the Lord were speaking. And listen to what God says. In verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You understand what he's saying in this passage? When all the sons of God shouted for joy, did you know there was a day when Lucifer, old Satan himself, was loved of God and loved God? When he probably led the angels in praise to Jesus, there was a time when he was the object of affection from the Lord God Almighty. But Lucifer got eye trouble. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, we read of his eye trouble. Luke 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. There was a day in glory in eternity past when Lucifer himself decided that he would be above God and everyone else would be in submission and subjection to him. And for this, when he rebelled against God, God kicked him out of heaven and he fell from heaven as the lightning that falls upon the earth. God brought the devil down to the sides of the pit. And I promise you this, that today the devil will never forget when he rebelled against Almighty God. I think then, number two, about the day when the devil received word of his doom. God's creation, 6 days he created heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day rested. We know that God on that sixth day created the man, and from the man he took from his side a rib and created a woman. And we know that the devil, in the form of a serpent, found a way into that Garden of Eden. And he said to the woman, you shall not surely die. He began to blaspheme the name of God. Look with me in verse 14 of Genesis 3. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God is saying, I will raise up seed of this woman, that the Messiah would come from her. And it will ultimately seal your doom forever and ever and ever. And the devil will never forget the day that God pronounced his doom. The devil will never forget it. Now you would think that the devil would have fell on the ground after already getting kicked out of heaven and hearing God say that you're a rebel, you're a rouser, and the Messiah's coming, and you're forever defeated, receiving word of his doom. You'd think he'd fall on his knees in humble submission and say, oh, I've messed up, please forgive me. But instead, he geared up for war, and he began a battle. We know that Adam and Eve were driven away from the garden. We know that Adam and Eve had a precious son by the name of Cain. And immediately the devil saw him as a threat to be the Messiah. So he began to work in Cain's life, began to mislead him and teach him that you can come to God by works rather than by the blood. But Adam and Eve had another child by the name of Abel, and he was one who was the keeper of the sheep, and he came by the blood of the Lamb. And when he presented that blood, he was acceptable to God. But Cain's offering was refused, and the devil jumped in Cain's heart and said, how could your brother's be received? And after all that effort and all that hard work, yours be rejected. God came to Cain and spoke to him, gave him another chance, said sin lies at the door. But instead of Cain receiving and begging forgiveness, receiving the word of God, he left out of there that moment from that altar, and he viewed his brother who had been to that altar giving the blood, and he hated him. And I don't know what he took, maybe a stone, but he killed his brother dead. And now the devil believes, I've got rid of Abel. There might have been a Messiah. I've got Cain who's driven away from civilization forever. I've got them now. Now the world is in my control. I'm geared up for war. But God gave Adam and Eve another son, a new birth. And through the new birth of one by the name of Seth, there came the lineage. Don't you know there's a day the devil will never forget when he received word of his doom. Seth would have a son by the name of Enos. He would have a son by the name of Canaan. He would have a son by the name of Mahalalel. And the next one would have a son by the name of Jared, a son by the name of Enoch, a son by the name of Methuselah, a son by the name of Lamech, a son by the name of Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6, the devil working upon civilization, verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's about where our society is now. The devil's working, trying to cause people to forget about God. But in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said, go and build an ark. And after 120 years of work and building that ark, God allowed all the animals, two by two, to get on board. And God said, all those believers, get on board. Noah and his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, eight precious souls got on board the ark. And God shut them in. Hey, I want to say this. That old devil said, well, it ain't going to rain. You're a liar. But I'm telling you what, it began to rain. And the water began. That's a day the devil will never forget, when the word of God began to come true. And all of man and all of mankind began to drown out. People begging, hey Noah, open the door. We believe you now. We believe you now. But it's too late. Noah couldn't open the door because God shut him in. Amen. And the devil couldn't get inside because God shut him in. I just want to take time out and say this. I'm glad, thank God, I'm in the ark. I said, I'm glad, thank God, I'm in the ark of safety. I'm in a place that the devil can't get to. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus Christ. Through Noah's son Shem, the ancestry had passed down by one by the name of Abraham. The devil said, he's such a wicked sinner. He's an idolater. But God called him out. Save that old boy. And by faith, Abraham followed God. Abraham was promised a seed. Not just Isaac, but he was promised, I believe, the Messiah. And there's that promise, that word of his doom. And the devil will never forget that day. Abraham, he took his boy upon the mountain when God said, sacrifice him. And he laid the boy down and drew back the knife. And the devil said, just kill him, just kill him, just kill him. And God said, wait just a minute. Because you've not withheld your son, your only son whom thou lovest. He looked over and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Reminds me of Jesus with that crown of thorns upon his head. God had provided himself a lamb. Hey, glory to God. And one day God would become the lamb. What a blessing that is. From Isaac to Jacob to Judah, keep going all the way down to King David. And to King David, God said, I'll raise you up a son. Oh, there's that word again. A son, one that'll sit on your throne. One that'll reign forever and ever and ever. And Satan brought division and ruin to the kingdom of Israel. He took Israel and split them. From the northern kingdom to a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom went into captivity. The southern kingdom went into captivity. 70 years of bondage. When they returned, they built the temple. But the glory on that temple was not like it was before. And the devil said, ha ha ha, I'll cause them to forget God. The power of God, the presence of God, the promises of God are resting upon that place. And for 400 years, there was no word from God. Complete silence. But one day, God sent an angel to a little virgin girl and said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. You're going to have a son. Hey, praise God. He will be a Savior to his people. Don't you know the devil said, oh, I'll never forget the day that my doom was pronounced. Hear me. The child she had, the seed of a woman, just as God said. Are y'all doing all right? Number three, the devil will never forget the day when the Redeemer was born. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. For 9 months she carried that baby. For 9 months the devil had everybody he could point fingers at her and persecute her and tell her all kinds of, bring all kinds of attacks against her. But one day, God had an emperor give an edict. And now she and Joseph got to travel back towards Bethlehem. And when they get there, amen, there's no room in the inn. And in the stillness of the night, they entered into a manger. The devil will never forget this. What happened that night? The cry of the baby, the Son of God being born. And the devil will never forget the day when the Redeemer was born. On a Judean hillside, some familiar voices began to be heard. The devil used to be one of those angels. He used to be one of those that praised the name of Jesus. And listen, what he heard those familiar voices say. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the devil knew, this is the one who was born to destroy me. So he runs to Herod, says, hey. He said, yeah. Herod asked the wise men, tell me, when was it that you saw the star? They said, we've been following that star for 2 years. Herod said, I have an edict and an order. Kill all the babies 2 years old and under. The devil says, I got him now. I've got him now. But one night in a dream, God spoke to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take that baby down to the land of Egypt. And God spared his son. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 4. And please turn there. If you've got your Bible, you need to see this in Luke chapter 4. I don't believe the devil will ever forget for all of eternity. I don't believe that he'll forget the day that righteousness met him face to face in the wilderness. After Jesus was baptized, you remember the Bible said that the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And there stands the Son of God, and he's coming up out of that water. And the Bible says in verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. You understand, this is the same devil that back in Adam and Eve's day that accused God and blaspheme God to man. This is the same devil that one day he took Job straight to heaven and accused Job before God. And said, if you'll just take a few things from you, he serves you for naught. If you'll take a few things from him, he'll cuss you to your face. He blasphemed man to God. Here's the devil that's blasphemed God to man and blasphemed man to God. And now what's he going to do? He blasphemes God to his face. If thou be the Son of God. Look what Jesus said. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Oh, the devil will never forget when righteousness met him face to face in the wilderness and didn't bow down to him. Look at this second one. The Bible says the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now, I'm just going to be honest, as a Christian, those verses have bothered me for a long, long time. You know, because Jesus, all dominion was already given to him. But here's what happened. He gave that dominion to man when they got upon the earth. And we fumbled the ball. And now the devil's the prince of the power of the air and the God, little g, of this world. And here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. Thank you, Lord, for showing this to me. He's saying, I know, Jesus, you came to die on the cross. And ultimately, you came to take that dominion back. But I want to give you something here. If you will worship me, you won't have to go to that cross. If you will worship me, I'll give you that same dominion. I'll give you all that power. I'll give it all to you. Just don't go to the cross. That's what he's saying. Do you see it? I'm glad, aren't you, that Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What he's saying is, get behind me. Get out of my way. I'm on my way to the cross. Listen, that's a day the devil will never forget, when righteousness met him face to face and would not bow to him. Hey, and said to him, I have Darren Walter upon my mind. Put your name in there. I have Roy Walter upon, I have Luke Walter upon my mind. And if I don't go to that cross, they'll die and go to hell. That's a day the devil will never forget, when Jesus, woo, refused to bow to him and said, I'm on my way to that old cross. The Bible says in verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem, set him upon a pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it's written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The devil will never forget when he met righteousness in the wilderness. Number 5. I don't believe the devil will ever forget the day Jesus resurrected. To have a resurrected Christ, you must first have a crucified Christ. I want to read about that in Matthew 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe from off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And I believe the devil was standing back saying, ha, 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 where's your power now? Where's the presence and the promises of God now, Jesus? Hey, the same words you hear, where's your God now when you have trouble? Where's your God now when you have problems? I wonder if the devil was trying to hit Jesus with the same thing. Laughing and mocking while people spit upon him and beat him and bloodied him and bludgeoned him. Look with me here, verse number 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Who do you think they references? Religious leaders? You're right. Scribes, Pharisees? You're right. Maybe a couple of those disciples from a distance? You're right. For all we know, maybe, just maybe, that there were a lot of common people there, some believers, unbelievers. But I believe the devil himself was in that group of they. And they watched him there as he was beaten. And the nails were driven into his hands and into his feet. And he was lifted up over the world. And here he hangs, God being crucified, hanging between heaven and this world, and the devil laughing every step of the way. We know that Jesus, with a loud voice, said, it is finished, and he yielded up the ghost. Verse 57 of this chapter says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus, his disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Can you see Joseph of Arimathea? As he comes up behind that cross, and he takes those hands that formed the world, that healed the blind, healed the deaf, he drops those hands. And that body's limp. And begins to lean forward. Nicodemus was there, I know, and they laid him there on the ground, and they begin to carry him towards that new tomb. Here's the Prince of Glory, dead. Here's the one who loved sinners, dead. The one who healed, the one who fed the hungry, dead. The one who raised those dead, like Lazarus, from the grave, dead. And the devil says, ha, 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 I've got you now. Ha, ha, it's over for you. Don't you know that the Bible tells us that they stood guard over that tomb? I believe the devil probably guarded it himself that very first day, that second day. But on that third day, chapter 28 says, there was an angel that came and rolled away the stone. And he sat up on it. And the Bible says the women came up. And the angel said, fear not, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. For he's risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I want to emphasize just for a minute where the angel said, he is not here. Don't you know the devil probably ran and said, he's gone! He's gone! Jesus is risen! And that's a day the devil will never, for all of eternity, he will never forget the day that Jesus got up victorious over death, victorious over hell, victorious over the grave, victorious! And the devil, for all of eternity, will never forget. How did he do that? He's God. And the devil will never forget it. I think for all eternity, he'll remember. I believe he'll remember. As they drove the nails in Jesus' hand. As they drove the nails in Jesus' hand. As they drove the nails in Jesus' feet. The pounding of those nails will be this to the devil. You've lost. You've lost. Seal it. Nail it down. The victory belongs to Jesus Christ. And the devil will never forget. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I turn against God? He'll never forget the day that Jesus resurrected from the tomb. I want to read out of Zechariah. Old Testament text, I know. I love the Old Testament reading for Jeremiah and other scriptures. Zechariah chapter 14. Would you turn there? Maybe they could put it on the screen if it's hard for you to find. Zechariah chapter 14. Number 6. I'm almost done. You'll say hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Hey, the devil will never forget when Jesus returns. Jesus has promised that his return would be twofold. First, he told us, for those of us that are here, if you're a believer, the dead in Christ will rise first when Jesus comes in the rapture. All of our loved ones that we miss so bad, they're going to come forth and be like Jesus with a glorified body. Then we, which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now the devil comes and says, doesn't he?
Oh, you preachers have been saying that for years. I'm not too worried. But devil, I'm just reminding you what Jesus did on the cross, what Jesus did over the tomb. He's made another promise to us that he's going to come get us and take us from this veil of tears. And one day, youngins, we leave it here. You go tell Obama I said so. The IRS won't be able to find me. The president won't be able to put me down anymore. I'll be on my way to glory in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I'll bow my face before my Savior and worship him forever and ever and ever. And on earth, some leader will stand up and say, I have an answer. I've gotten rid of those troublemakers. You know, those Christians who stood in our way, who wanted to go against us on our laws and go against us on our prejudices. That we have an answer. We got rid of them. Yeah. Go ahead and tell that lie. And he'll say, bow down before me. And the world will start to do so. And after 7 years, Jesus Christ himself, Revelations chapter 19. Revelations chapter 19. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come back on a white horse. Revelations 19:11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Here he comes, riding behind him all the armies of glory. You and I on white horses coming right behind. I never did have a problem fighting in a fixed fight. I don't have to do a thing. I just want to watch what Jesus is going to do. Get him, Jesus, get him. And when he comes to this earth, he's going to meet the Antichrist face to face. And he's going to meet the false prophet face to face. He says, get out of my way. He's going to take the beast. He's going to take the false prophet. He's going to throw them in the lake of fire. Psh, psh. They both go splashing in. He's going to defeat all their armies. And he's going to set up for 1,000 years on earth righteousness. And we're going to reign and rule with Jesus. Now, I've never been to governor's school. I've never been to governor's academy. But I'm going to reign and rule with him. And so are you. And the Bible says in Revelation 20, would you just look with me? The Bible said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold upon the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him in the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Devil will never forget that. For 1,000 years chained up. But the Bible says, he'll be released for a little season. During that 1,000 years on earth, it'll be a time of peace and prosperity. A time of population boom, agriculture boom like the world has never seen. There'll be no disease. The lions and the lambs are going to lay down together. It'll be a time like the world has never seen when Jesus sits on the throne. At the end of that, the devil's going to be released. He's going to go out to the people to deceive them. Say, listen. Why do you have to bow down to him? Why don't you serve me? It'll be easier to turn to me. Why is he ruling you with iron? Hey, turn to me. See, that crowd's going to have to be saved just like you and I made a decision to be saved. Amen. And I want you to know that at the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says, well, let's just look at it. In Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out and deceive the nations which are the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, that means rebellious, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Watch this next verse. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. That's our 7th point. He'll never forget the day of his reckoning. There's going to be a moment that he's going to be brought in to stand before God. They're going to say, bow. Can you hear? as he enters the courtroom. Heaven's complete silence. He walks in. Jesus says, bow. The devil. Woo! The devil who's deceived and hurt so many. He says, confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. There's a day he'll never forget. When he confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, I will be there to see it. And just better that he laughed at Jesus when he died on the cross, I'm going to be laughing. And I'm going to be rejoicing. And say, that's the one we're afraid of. That's the one we're so whole worried about. Woo! Who's bowing now, big boy? And Jesus is going to get him by the nap of his breeches. And he's going to pick him up, if he's got any breeches. And he's going to give him a hurl towards the lake of fire. The name Satan means hurler. Can you see him as he's flying out of control? And he goes, splash, in the lake of fire. And he'll be tormented in that place day and night forever and ever and ever and ever again. He'll never forget. He'll never forget the day he rebelled against God. The day he received word of his doom. He'll never forget the day the Redeemer was born. He'll never forget when he met righteousness face to face. He'll never forget the resurrected, crucified Christ. He'll never forget that return of Christ. He'll never forget his day of reckoning. Might there be some tonight in this house of worship that have never been born again? You're going to go to the same place the devil's going. You may be 8. You may be 11. You may be 23 or 62. But if you don't come by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, tormented day and night forever and ever. Hear me. There's nobody rich in hell. There's nobody famous anymore in hell. All paupers suffering forever and ever. Weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. The devil will never, ever forget. May I surmise it like this? If you go to hell, you're going to never forget the day you rebelled against God. The day when you squandered your opportunity to be saved. You're never going to forget the night you receive word of your doom. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you're never going to ever forget when you receive word of your doom. And you're never going to forget the day the Redeemer was born. He was born to die. He was born to take upon himself your sins that you might be saved. You're never going to forget how Jesus was crucified. When you should have died, he died in your place. You're never going to forget the nights the man of God prayed and preached to you that you could be saved through the power of Jesus' resurrection. You spurned it. You are never, ever going to forget when Jesus returns. You know what? He came and your papaw was a Christian. And when your papaw breathed his last breath, Jesus was there. And when he took his last breath here, Jesus took him straight to heaven with him. You're never going to forget some of your loved ones that's been praying for you, that's ministered to you, how they're with Jesus. Well, Jesus has returned to get them. At the day of rapture, you can be left behind. I really believe there'll be some people trying to get into Fletcher First Baptist Church saying, hey, open the doors. I want another opportunity. Open the doors. Man of God, man of God, let me in. But the man of God has been taken home. In fact, I believe the Holy Spirit will have been withdrawn and taken back home. And you're never going to forget when the Antichrist comes into power. You're going to take his mark probably because you're going to get hungry. Hey, you ain't got a mama. And you ain't got a daddy.
And you got to take a mark just to get a piece of cheese. What on earth are you going to do with your parents in glory and you're left behind? Oh, God help. You're never, ever going to forget. You're never going to forget. And one day, you're going to stand on a great white throne before God and all the redeemed of God who've already been in the judgment seat in the marriage supper are going to be behind him in the choir, so to speak. And one by one, the countless thousands of the lost will stand before God. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll say, well, wait a minute. I heard Darren preach that night. But wait a minute. My pastor is Roy Waldrop. But wait, Preacher Roy, tell him for me, you know me. And they sent you. And they carry you away. And they hurl you. Oh, what's happening? Splash. Oh, I'm buried. Forever doomed in a lake of fire with a devil, the beast, and the false prophet, and the thousands upon thousands that have rejected Christ. You'll never forget it. Boy, I say to you not. I sure am glad to be saved. Thank God for saving me. I sure am thankful for the opportunity He's afforded my family to be saved. And He saved them. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I rejoice in what Jesus has done. And while the ages roll on, we're rejoicing. While in hell, you'll never forget that on this night, you said no to Jesus. You stand to your feet. He might be a grandpa here say, oh, Preacher Darren, my granddaughter. Oh, I pray the Holy Ghost to go get her. You ought to hit this altar, sir. Maybe there's a grandma said, oh, I'm telling you, my grandyoungest, I'm so troubled. Maybe there's a mom, a dad, a spouse here said, oh, God, save them. But I believe there may be somebody here tonight. Honey, why don't you just look up at your daddy or your mom and say, I got to go get saved. Why don't you just run down, ma'am, sir, this old-fashioned arms, hey, I'm tired of being plastic. I'm tired of being counterfeit. I got to get right with God. Your head's bowed, nobody looking. Somebody come to the piano. Play something. You're never going to forget this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're never going to forget. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your head's bowed, nobody looking. I believe with all my heart there's some folk here tonight need to get right with God. I believe with all my heart there's some folk here tonight that needs to do business with God. The devil's trying to get you to forget and doubt and question. And you ought to get in this honor and say, thank God, I've been encouraged. Devil, you may try to get me to forget, but I'm going to tell you, buddy, there's some things you ain't never going to forget. And the preacher just declared it. And I'm going to get on my honor and on my knees in this honor and say, I'm agreeing with it, God. Nobody's looking. Your head bowed. Sister, brother, will you pray? Play for us. Christians praying all over the house. Folks already slipping in the altar. What do you need to do? Somebody need to do business with God tonight. Would you come? This will be a night you'll never forget. Fletcher First Baptist, do you have some loved ones you're burdened about? You better bring them to God. You better bring them to God. There's some folks you need to mention to God. You better bring them to God. He already knows. Get under that burden with them. Get under that burden for them. Bring them to God. Oh, I got family members myself need to be saved. Bring them to God. Thank you. Our Father and our God, on bended knee with burdened heart we bow. And we ask you, Lord, we ask you, forgive us when we've failed you and where we failed you. We're unworthy and undeserving of the least of thy tender mercies. And how we praise you for your Son tonight, named Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for our sin, a ransom for our soul. And I praise you tonight. God, we have loved ones. I have friends and I have family that need salvation. And I pray you'd send the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. I pray you'd draw them to one who is lifted up. And I pray you'd save them for Jesus' sake. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Fletcher. And I pray tonight, God, you'd help us to realize that old devil in this world is surely trying to cause us to forget God. But I want to say something to this world system. And I want to say something to that old devil, Lord. Help us, God, to be true that he'll never forget these moments. Lord, there's folk tonight that may never forget this service. They may have watched by way of internet. They may have watched or listened by way of DVD. Oh God, I pray, Lord, if they're listening by CD, God, you'd save them. Lord, I'll never forget that night that boy told me. He was listening to the CD, and right there you had me say, son, just pull your car over in the parking lot and get saved. And that boy said, it was me, preacher. I pulled off and got saved on the side of the road. Lord, I don't know where it's going, but you do. God, you have a plan and purpose. God, send your word forward, I pray. Work for your glory, God, I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Praise God for his word, for his spirit, for the preached word of God, Darren, for you man the Lord in that, God anointing the service. Praise the name of the Lord. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here. Pray for our nation. Usher's going to come. We're going to receive the evening offering, which will go to evangelists. Appreciate you being here so much. If you'll play something as we bow our hearts. Brother Gunn Davis, come if you please and lead us in congregational prayer as we pray for the offering. We're so happy you're here. We hope you come back this week, see what God's going to do. You and I need what God wants to do. We're individuals for you, for our churches, for our nation. Just believe and trust.
Before we pray, I think the Lord impressed on me. I was thinking as Brother Darren was preaching in Luke chapter 15, the parable of that lost coin. She had 10 pieces of silver, and I believe 10, I'm not sure. I believe it's a number of completeness, completion. And one piece of silver was lost. She lit a candle, and she began to sweep the house. You see, that piece of silver was lost inside the house. Yeah. A place of security, a place of rest, a place of where it needed to be, but yet there was one piece of silver that was lost inside the house. It wasn't lost in the wilderness. It wasn't lost doing the things, the fornicating and the idolatry, the covetous. It was lost inside the house. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the preached word. We thank you, Lord, for stirring our hearts. Lord, we thank you most of all, Father, for letting us remember that day that you saved our soul. Lord, I pray, God, for someone under the sound of my voice that wasn't obedient, that's lost, that's never surrendered, God, they're where they need to be. They're in a place of security, a place of rest. But Lord, I pray you'd reveal yourself to them. I pray, God, you'd save them before it's too late. Lord, thank you, Father, for the man of God that's faithful to preach. Thank you, Lord, for the singers and for each and every one that came out tonight, Lord. We bless your name. Thank you, God, for being with us tonight. We love you. Be with this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.